Today on Talk About That, I try to make Amish people laugh and deal with the youngest heckler ever. Meanwhile, John deals with mistaken identity and has a sermon illustration fall flat. Plus a conversation on Christian camps, the Sabbath, and why we aren't built for perpetual excitement. Today's episode is not sponsored by Clif Bars, the perfect meal supplement for weight loss because it's basically inedible. Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Banter Town. Let's talk about that. John.
We're going back to Banter Town.
It's been a while. I was thinking about resurrecting Banter Town. We really kind of retired that.
It could be its own podcast, really. A separate entity.
Well, we wanted to make it, you know, like Banter Town Podcast Network, but we don't really have anybody else to put.
It's really an arrogant.
Right.
You've made the network name before. It's like we have a second podcast.
Starting a publisher before you've ever written a book. Right. Yeah. That's what that is, yeah.
Of course, people call themselves comedians, you know, before they really even are. Jerry Seinfeld used to have a bit about that, about how, like, when you are introduced as a comedian for the first time, you're not a comedian yet, but there's no other way to introduce what you're doing. So right. They go, "This next guy's a comedian. Come on out." And then you come out and you're like,
it's one of the only things you can just proclaim yourself.
Yeah. He goes, it'd be like if your first day in medical school, they just gave you a scalpel and said, "Cut the patient till he feels better." And you're like, "I don't know what I'm doing. Just keep going. You'll get better."
Yeah, it's a, the Banter Town, I could see it's rebranding. I like Talk About That, but I think Banter Town.
Sure.
Maybe we should ask the listeners.
Won't you take me to?
How you doing, Johnny?
I'm okay. I did a bunch of one-nighters last couple weeks. I was in Leesburg, Florida, north of Orlando. Wonderful people there.
Yeah.
And then I did a show in Amish country, Pennsylvania.
Mm.
I didn't know that it was going to be. So you go out there. If you've ever been to rural Pennsylvania?
No.
Or if you've been to like Philly?
No.
You've never been to Pennsylvania?
No.
Pittsburgh, Philly?
No, I've done Amish country in other places, but
yeah.
Not.
Yeah. So I go out there and I knew that it was near this area called Lancaster. It's one of those places where it looks like Lancaster, but it's Lancaster.
Mm.
So like, okay, this seems like it's near there.
It's
sure
like,
enough,
it's like Lafayette, Tennessee is Lafayette.
Yeah, Lafayette. Right. Yeah. So sure enough, we pull in, and there's horses and buggies. There's like a bike lane in this area of the state, but the bike lane is just widened for buggies and horses. These little horse-drawn boxes.
A buggy lane.
It is. It's essentially a buggy lane. Because if they got in the real lane, they'd just hold up traffic.
You get like one of those really fast horses.
You got to get a hold on, and you just come on now.
Go get Jedediah out of the barn.
Hey, we don't.
Sorry.
Let's not make any sweeping statements about our friends, our Amish friends.
Sorry.
Anyway, so I get there. It was a fundraiser, or no, it was a benefit for end of the year for first, I knew it was for first responders, and it was being put on by a local business, and I think it was for the local fire station there in a town called Paradise, Pennsylvania.
Mm.
But the town I was in was called Strasburg, and so I show up. It's this little events center behind a bar, and I'm like, all right, it's nice enough. They had a sound system, nice. And then the guy who's the fire chief, he had seen me to church a couple of years before. He goes, "I saw you in 2019, and we wanted to get you in." Oh, great, man. He was a super nice guy, really cool. And then he goes, "Just so you know, like most of the people at the show tonight are going to be Amish." And I go, he goes, "I don't know if you knew that." I go, "I did not know that."
Yeah, that was not in the notes.
He just laughed because he's like, he was an Amish himself, but he's just like, yeah. So, you know, just get your pop culture references ready or what. I was just like, oh my gosh. So I'm just like, not panicking, but I'm like, this will be interesting. I've done some shows where there was Amish people in the crowd, but not like an Amish crowd. Sure enough, I go on. First of all, it was a long night. They had like a video of a highlight reel of all the things they did the last couple of years. Because the first time they've gathered, I think, for a while. They didn't even get to do an awards ceremony the year before. The police chief spoke. The fire chief spoke. They had a speech. And the police chief's given this part about, and I'm on the phone with, I was texting my buddy. I go, "This is going to be an interesting one." Because he gets on, he starts going, "That was a crazy year last year. We had some crazy calls. Remember, Jake, when we went out to that resort that had the iced over pond, and they had 20 heifers fall through the ice. We had to pull out 20 dead heifers." And I just kept waiting for him to go, "And now, to make us laugh." this dead heifer, and then I come out. But so I was just like, this will be interesting. And then they played this video with like all these like rescue missions they did.
Yeah.
Somebody's taking photos along the way, and you know, flood rescues, and they're in like the little inflatable boats, and they're playing "There Goes My Hero." You know, that's behind them, and they do another song. And then randomly, it was like "Even Flow." I'm like, that's a weird choice. Okay, it'd just be like a random. Okay, that doesn't really fit "Hero." I can be here, baby. Just breaks into tears. I always feel like Enrique Iglesias sounded like he was about to cry when he would sing that song. Was that, or was that Mark Anthony? I can't remember who sang that one. Anyway, whoever it was, he sounded like he was singing, but also just about to snap. Just about to sob.
Yeah. It's real, like,
they had to, like, go into the vocal booth and console him.
Hey, man.
Mid-take.
It's going to be all right.
We just need one more out of you.
You just.
I can't do it. You can do it.
Muster the courage, bro. Yeah. Just keep going. One more.
So then I go, well, this is going to be interesting. So, and there's no stage. So it's just like a carpeted floor. There's tables. People have been eating. Mm-hmm. And then I go up. There's like a buffet. But they're done eating. So they're faced towards me. But it's a lot of just chin beards. And they have these hats. Mm-hmm. Amish people wear, men, wear a straw hat that's like a very, it's a tight brim. It's not like a floppy straw hat. But it's a very, it's almost like a derby, but it's made of straw. And I noticed in the coat check room of this event center, it's almost like what you would see at a country club.
Yeah.
Like there's like a foyer with a couch and a thing, and then you go in and there's like a little ballroom, and that's where they have the dinners. Yeah. And so I'm looking in the coat check room, and it's these hats, and they're just 20 of them lined up on the shelf.
How do they know?
That's what I thought. I thought, there's got to be, like, if I pick one of these up, which I did, it's going to say, like, Jedediah or, you know, Merle, whatever. I don't know. And I pick it up, nothing. There's
no
marks of any kind that would notate this is my hat. And I'm thinking, this is going to be chaos after this show.
It's a communal hat.
I wanted so bad to just go start mixing up, because they probably were like, I'm the far left, so I know to go to my hat. Wouldn't that have been fun?
Oh, my gosh.
Now my hat doesn't fit. Yeah. I've disrupted their whole community. Anyway, I go up. It was good. It was fine. They were very polite. Mm. I got some laughs, but I noticed that, like, some reference. I kept thinking in my head, like, okay, the next thing coming up is a joke about cars. The next thing coming up is a joke about movies. The next thing's about TV. Mm. So you just start your jokes being like, you ever hear a song on the radio and you realize it's a commercial?
You're like, nope.
Right. And I don't know, because some of these, you know, some Amish people.
Well, yeah, they might. I don't know what they engage.
Because I made a Will Smith joke that night about how, like, Will Smith is going to come smack me or whatever. That had just happened. And it got this big, huge laugh. And I was like, all right, y'all cheat.
Y'all not supposed to know about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. I don't honestly know all the rules of, in all seriousness, of Amish culture.
I don't either. And that's why I'm reticent to even, like, I'm not making fun of it. No, I'm fascinated by it as, like, an outsider. And it was such a cool, interesting, like, peek into their world. And I'm sure I was a peek into the world of the outsiders who are going to hell or whatever they think of me, whatever they think I am.
Well, we don't know if the Amish think that.
Well, I mean, I'm just telling you.
You're like, no, I'm saying it.
I'm going. No, but it's like, it was so interesting. And then at one point, this is the danger of not having a stage, by the way, is it's so easy to get to you.
Mm.
And there were a couple of little ones in the room.
Oh, no.
That are just frolicking and playing, but they're not really disturbing the show. And then this kid who's 3 and is in the most cute homemade outfit with suspenders, and he's got his little parted hair. I mean, he looks like a Gerber kid. He comes running up. Actually, he just saunters confidently.
Wow.
Confidently, like, yeah, I belong here. Yeah. I don't know what you think you're doing, but this is my show now. And he just walks right up and stands right beside me. He just looks up at me, and I go, finally, I can't just keep aiming my jokes here.
Right.
They're all looking at him. I go, hey, buddy, how you doing there? You want to tell some jokes? And they all kind of laugh. And then he kind of looks at me. He just doesn't do anything. And then he wanders around. There's like an AV cart with the soundboard and cables coming off, because it's like a very, like, rudimentary sound system with speakers on stands. So it's right beside me. And he just walks over to it and starts, like, reaching his hand towards it.
Oh, no.
Like, he's going to start either unplugging things or, he's now my engineer. And I just go, finally, I don't know what to do. Because,
like,
I
can't. Somebody come get this kid.
I go, buddy, I don't blame you. I blame your parents. That's what That's another thing that my buddy Marty does. He'd be like, I don't blame this kid at all. I blame the parents. And so I was just trying to diffuse it by being snarky a little bit. Still nothing. Mm. And then finally I had to go like, seriously, where are your parents? I go, am I adopted? Are you my kid now? I'll take you home. And then that got a nervous laugh. And then this guy comes up who's probably mid-20s. And he kind of just, and he kind of gives me a little slug in the arm, like he was a little bit irked by it, I think, like that I called him out.
Yeah.
But I was like, do you know what a real comedian would have done? Do you know what like a dirty comedian would have done? You know what I'm saying? Like if I was able to really like let loose on somebody that let their kid come up. Anyway, it wasn't irritating to me. It was just one of those things of like,
interesting.
Well, this was something for the books. Like it really doesn't bother me. It's a funny story to me. I don't care. As long as it doesn't like derail the show and make it impossible to get laughs again, which I think I got them back, which is good. But and then I just launch into another, you know, who watches American Idol? Or yay. I don't know what reference it wasn't American Idol, but it was one of those things where you're like, every joke you're scanning ahead, I'm floating because I know I've done my show enough to where you can, and I know you've done this with sermons before where like you're floating above yourself going, well, this next point's going to be
it's something. Coming. Yeah.
And you do that all the time if you do the same material like I do. So it's like, I'm going, no, I'm just like crossing it off the queue. Like, no, that one's about movies. That one's, and it wasn't that I wasn't doing them. It's like I was going, this won't hit harder than this. This is not going to be the normal crescendo. So it was just one of those things of like, the guy was thrilled though. He was like, oh, it was so great. And he told me that they loved it. And that was fine. That was really fun.
Yeah.
And I was glad I did it. And it was cool to honor. I just had no idea there were this many Amish volunteer firemen.
Yeah.
They're out there doing it, guys.
Yeah.
They're doing the work. In straw hats, no less. That's a fire hazard if ever there was one.
Right there.
I don't think they wear the straw hats when they volunteer. I did do a thing where I talked about like being pranked at your first job and people haze you. And I go, do you guys haze people? And I go, do you like not turn on the fire hose for them? Like this guy. And that got like a laugh.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I don't know. But I don't know. I don't know how to talk to Amish people. I don't know how to talk to firemen. I was just at a loss. Wow. I was just like, I'm going to do my jokes and hope
and just get
that
out
they
here.
Work. Yeah. And it was fun. They were very fun. But
it's interesting. So there is another John Driver out there.
That's right. He's a Mennonite.
Who's a Mennonite theologian.
And Mennonite, I think, is like Amish light.
I don't know. Again,
I think.
Please forgive me.
I'm telling
listener,
you.
We don't.
I've heard that it's like not as restrictive.
It's possible. I think there's levels. But I remember my first call with my agent.
Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to go to?
My first call with my agent, he had looked me up, which I'm writing a new book proposal.
Oh, and he confused you?
And it's the first time, by the way, in a book proposal, I've listed my name as John C. Driver.
Right. So it's like Hollywood, you do that. That's why Michael J. Fox is Michael J. Fox.
But I maybe should have waited. Not waited till I've written 28 books.
Yeah.
It's like, I should have done this in the first one.
Yeah.
But I do own johndriver.com.
Not johncdriver.com. I own that.
Oh, well, yeah.
Good luck getting that back.
Negotiating. But I got on there and he was like, I thought he was joking.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, you know, he said, see you the Mennonite.
I'm surprised you found the email.
And it was
But
I'm like, I got some family that are Mennonites up in Pennsylvania. And I was like, he was serious.
Yeah.
He's from Pennsylvania. I was like, oh. But I didn't like make fun of him like you just did. I just was like, just for a second.
Well, let me tell you, the guy, that was the most interesting part, was one of the younger guys comes up to me after he goes, because I did a joke. I always do a joke about like, people always wondering, does my wife come with me?
Yeah.
And I normally say like, do you want to go with me? And she'll be like, where are you going? I go, San Diego. She's like, let's go. And I go, she goes, where are you going? I go, Strasburg, Pennsylvania. She said, I'll see you when you get back. It's like a joke I make if I'm in like a nowhere town, which is most of what I do is small towns. And it's just a joke. But this guy came to me. He goes, next time, bring your wife with you. He goes, don't tell her you're taking her to Strasburg. Tell her you're taking her to intercourse. And then you're going to take her to paradise.
Oh, wow.
Because those are two town names in Pennsylvania, in rural, in that same area. So I was like, these Amish people are nasty.
Like, did you say that to him?
No.
Yeah, I remember, somebody gave me a t-shirt.
Right. I remember you showing it to me. It said, I heart intercourse.
I had a picture of it
on
some trip with Laura when early, I heart intercourse, Pennsylvania, a little tiny PA.
Little tiny,
I was like, that's a good one, guys. Good one. So. this, wow, we're going far.
No,
this,
it's fun.
This actually came up in the staff meeting yesterday. I can't believe I'm saying this, but Allison's freaking out right now.
We get real on this show, John.
But like the word intercourse means dialogue as
right.
well.
We've kind of made it.
Yeah. It's become this
we
one
made
thing.
Everything about intercourse is sexual intercourse, and which there's many kinds of intercourse.
Yeah, you read especially, right. you know, even early 20th century documents, it's not yeah. uncommon
right.
for two nations to have intercourse about the
right.
treaty.
Yeah.
You know, and people today are like,
but you would never say that.
They're like chuckling. Yeah. It's yeah. like, guys, that's correct.
Yeah.
But so I'm not sure that's one of the words I want to redeem.
Yeah, you don't
spend
want to
a
take,
lot of energy
take back
on
intercourse.
It. Like, hey, everybody, I'm going to, you know.
You're not going to spend a lot of energy on intercourse? Is that what you're saying?
I feel like I'm going
to
be editing.
We're very close to editing this
I'm
out. But
be
not,
editing.
We're not going to. We're close to, though.
I wonder. I don't know yet. We'll have to talk about it afterwards.
Talk about that.
We're just talking about grammar, Johnny, is all
yeah,
it is.
That's all it is.
It's just grammar.
Well, it's just lexicon. It's the words that we use the most, and that they become like our regular words. And then there's some words that kind of are outsiders. And then there's words that just become, the meaning gets locked into one focused thing.
Yeah.
And then it's just, after that, you know, okay, whatever. And you go, well, they used to actually mean a lot of things. No.
Well, the other one was, gosh, I'm not going to say that one either. With Andrew's generation,
yeah.
they would say, hey, I'll give you a call. We'll hook up later.
Yeah.
And now hook up. Yeah. Has a sexual connotation.
Now you'd say connect.
Right. And like...
Yeah, let's connect later on that.
Like one of our staff members said, yeah, that day I called somebody. You know, again, he's in his 50s. That's just a normal thing to say, yeah, I'll call him. We'll hook up later. And the person looked at him real weird. Mm-hmm. He's like, guys, that just, you know, I don't know. So
they think Andrew wants to Netflix and chill.
It's very interesting. Hey, by the way, I kind of have a reveal on the show today.
Okay.
It's kind of a big deal.
Okay.
But I bought you a present.
No, you didn't.
I did.
John.
I did. And I want to present it to you.
This is embarrassing. I didn't get you anything. Of course, I did give you two presents one time on the show in a row.
I have mm-hmm. bought you an official
Look at this.
University of Tennessee SEC Tournament Championship.
My favorite is it's just like Intercourse Pennsylvania shirt in that SEC Tournament Champion is really small. It just says Men's Basketball Champions.
And then
SEC Tournament.
Yeah.
I love it.
So this is, it took a while to get here. I ordered this the night we won. This is the shirt they were wearing on the court.
Wow.
So this is the official one.
Beautiful.
And
very nice.
I got one for myself.
Thank you, sir.
So maybe, you know, you got to let me know if you're going to wear it on the
Twinsies.
Podcast.
Twinsies. So, well, both. Why can't we?
I don't think we want to.
No?
I don't think we're there.
Like a uniform that we
yeah.
now have?
You used to always talk about that. You can always tell when someone's.
Like when couples do it,
yeah,
he just looks like the guy cheated, and that's his punishment.
But forever.
She's labeling him.
Right. Yeah, yeah, he's mine now.
Hands off,
he's
ladies.
He's wearing this tie-dye
We're
shirt.
Both wearing fuchsia today.
Yeah. Anyway, well, there you
no,
go.
No, that's beautiful.
Happy basketball.
We won the tournament, and then we really disappointed in the in the main tournament.
You know,
Johnny. Which one would you rather have, John?
Listen, if we had not...
do you think we wore ourselves out for no reason too? Because we ended up with a three. That's probably what basically. That's what your overall sentiment is. Like it didn't matter that we won it because we didn't get a higher seed, and now the kids are tired. They go in with.
I think a championship is a championship in a season. It's yeah. not the championship, but I think
well, it's a tournament championship.
Right, you won
versus
a,
your regular season.
You
champion.
Won your conference tournament championship. It's yeah. a huge deal. It hasn't happened in 40 years. And I
beautiful.
We're one of those people. I don't want to downplay just because we. Look, only one team won the NCAA tournament. So yeah. the other 67
are failures.
Right. That was the point. Like if you think of it that way, well no they're not. And you can't just count the Final Four like so yes, we should have beat Michigan. We did not.
No.
That guy hit a hook shot and we couldn't hit a three, and that was it. That was the game. So yeah. they shut down Vescovy. And
yeah.
and our starting point guard has gone pro. Kennedy Chandler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freshman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's freshman one and done. Sensation.
He is our third one and done in 2 years, which that's great, actually, for the program.
That means, yeah, that's we're going to attract more of those people.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
We only have two scholarship openings right now.
It's so weird to see these coaches now being – we're on the tail end of coaches being hammered and NCAA violations for, like, allegedly paying players, and now we're entering the era where players are going to start getting paid.
Yeah, they're allowed to.
Not paid to play basketball, but paid to play basketball, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, the things that we killed this guy for is going to be like, well, yeah, they have a slush fund. Like, it's just going to be a thing. And whoever has the biggest slush fund wins. I mean, does that...
I'm in the middle.
I want kids to get paid for their name, image, likeness. But I feel like it's going to be this weird end around for boosters to be like, you know, yeah, he's a... That's why he's driving that new Hummer. It's because he's a...
Well, you know what? It's a little bit like... We're just on all the topics today. You know, if you... I'm not going to talk about that. Never mind. I'll just have to edit it.
Sean, I'm giving you so much work today. I didn't mean to get controversial, John.
No, it's fine. It's fine. No, I think that when you take something with adults doing something that is making lots of money for somebody...
Yeah.
Even though they get a college education, exposure, possible... Right. Most of them don't go pro.
But do you think you would have felt different about this 20 years ago? Like, everybody just felt differently about this 20 years ago, and now you see so many people that are up in arms like, well, of course the kids deserve a cut. Whereas before, I would have been more likely to be like, yeah, but they're getting, like, $150,000 education.
A kid
got to go to Duke, that he didn't get nothing out of it.
Sure.
But now I'm so up in arms, I'm like, yeah. I just think about how many jerseys that Duke sold with Christian Laettner's name on it.
Yeah.
And he probably just thought, well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to go pro and have this great career, and it won't matter.
Yeah.
And then he had a very average pro career and was out of the league in 5 years.
And now he's probably only a multimillionaire instead of a multi-multi.
But you know what I mean.
But Laettner's...
It's that thing of like, oh, well, the kid will get there, whatever, down the road. Well, we don't know that. Somebody could blow out their knee, and I could blow out my knee. John, I've blown out my knee. What's funny is that would affect my career very little.
Yeah.
That's great to be able to be like, hey, I could blow out a knee. And
I always think about what limb I could hurt and continue what I do.
That's a weird...
It is, because I love to run. So if I really hurt my knee, I think, man, that would really change my life.
But that's a very dark place to go.
This is a sick thing, bro.
How?
Like, you don't even know the
depth. What limb could I live without?
Like, what if I lost my right arm? Could I type with my left?
You'd have to teach yourself.
See, that right there.
That arm would become, it would compensate.
You think?
No.
You haven't seen me do...
No, I don't think
you have not
all.
Seen me do things left-handed. Like, it is like, it's like a wooden paddle compared to my right. Like, now I can play some keyboard.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm not
But you teach yourself those motions
it's
now.
It's not, I'm not a great guitar player for that reason. See, you're a lefty who plays guitar right-handed.
Would you have a nub? Would you be on the nut? Would you...
What I was.
We talking full on to the shoulder?
No, I don't
talking...
know. If I just lost use of it, I don't know.
Okay.
Like, could
so,
I?
There was a story when I was in high school, and I'll never forget it. It was about a kid who was on the farm. I think he was 19, 20. And his arms were pulled off of his body in like a threshing machine or some piece of farm equipment. So he's just got no arms, and he crawled somehow, made his way to his house, little farmhouse, and dialed 911 with a pencil in his mouth.
No way.
And they, I can't remember if they reattached his arms or not, but like, I was like, I would just lay in the field. I just remember thinking like, he went on Letterman, I think, later. It was like one of those things where it was like a nationwide story because it was crazy. This kid, his will to survive. And I was just like, yeah, I don't know, man. I think I'm done.
Right. Well, hey, we had a good
Somebody
run.
Pulls off my arms, I'm going to be like, hey, man, is there a pencil around here somewhere I can? I'd be like, that's Jeez. It for me.
I do, man. I admire people who overcome.
Yeah.
You know,
I saw a guy with no arms play the guitar for the Pope one time on, like, remember Axe Network? Remember when that was a thing?
Yeah.
So I'm watching it. And if you remember Axe, they play like a lot of church content. And so they had this concert for the Pope. And this guy's got a classical guitar laying on the ground, no arms. And he's got bare feet. And his jeans are rolled up. And I'm thinking, what's this guy? What's going to happen here? Like, I was almost like, this will be amazing if he does anything.
Right. If he played a G chord, how incredible would that be?
And this guy starts playing like classical gas, like stuff crazy,
like better than
intricate. Yeah. Like, I couldn't kick a guitar down the stairs if I had no arms. And this guy is just wailing.
He's killing it.
And the Pope was just, you know, Pope just nods.
Yeah, I think the Pope should get more excited.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry if that happens.
It's not the same Pope. This was like an old Pope. This is like John Paul II or whatever.
You can't account for.
No. I think the new Pope would be more on board. He's like the social justice Pope.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's more of a progressive pope. So I think he'd be like, he would jump up. And
do you remember my original sermon on Peter?
Uh-uh. Oh, yeah. The first pope?
No, Peter I used to call it From Dope to Pope. You don't remember that?
Like, I do remember it. That feels like Pastor Brian's influence. Yeah. That feels like our old buddy.
It was very early.
It was very important. Sermons rhymed.
Late 90s.
And had a pop culture
early
reference.
2000s. Yeah.
And or an MTV vibe to them.
Uh-huh.
From dope to pope.
I mean, it was an amazing journey. I always ask kids like, hey, okay, so you sat in my ministry for 6 years.
Yeah.
You heard 50 sermons on average. Mm-hmm. You heard 300 sermons. Can you name one?
How many people can name one?
Like, of all the kids, they can usually name something I said, and it usually was not what I meant to say.
Yeah, it's a mistake you made.
Right?
Yeah.
I remember that time you accidentally cussed because you were trying to say this word and came out like this. And you're like,
or they remember like we didn't play a lot of games in your youth group, but they might remember like a dumb game we did. Remember that time somebody almost died playing Chubby Bunny?
They do remember. When I set that.
John, they might not remember what you said or what you did, but they remember how you made them feel.
I don't know if they remember that either.
No,
they're like, who are you?
Yeah.
I remember the time I took a candle and lit it inside of a box. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what the sermon was about.
Was it like this little light of mine or?
No, I think it was about, I don't know, the light within or something kind of thing.
Like the light's on in somebody's home.
I don't know what it was, but it's like this. I had that image. They remembered that.
The Holy Spirit.
But nobody
knows. And why you need to get near it.
Nobody remembers what I did with it. So that's.
Because the box burst into flames.
Right.
And they were like, oof.
You do remember the time that I did have a fire illustration. It was at our previous church, our old church. And.
I don't remember that.
You know, I grew up doing lawn care, so I was around gasoline all the time. So I know I got. You know, I'm not afraid to work with gasoline, Johnny.
I think you should be more. There should be a healthy fear of gasoline.
Now, going backwards, this 21-year-old guy.
You shouldn't be afraid of putting gas in your car. You should be afraid of lighting gasoline.
I had a gas can in my office.
Yeah.
Okay. I brought it inside.
Yeah.
And I was going to light something up, burn it off of it, and then that was the whole idea, like, it would still be the same because he just burns the gas off real fast, you know. And
what was the illustration, though? That
I think that was the idea of, like, the resilience of, hey, listen, you walk through the fire, but you're not burned kind of thing, you know.
Right.
And so I did it in my office. It worked. And when I got up to do it in the sermon, it wouldn't catch on fire.
Oh, the gasoline wouldn't catch on
fire? The gasoline on the same thing. I forget what it was. Whatever I had. And for whatever reason, you couldn't do it twice to the same object.
Huh.
I don't know why, but I sat there and the room filled with the aroma of gasoline, which is not good for people.
No.
You're not supposed to do that inside.
So not only did the illustration not work, you may have given people some secondhand brain damage.
It's possible. Is it? Yeah, I don't know.
But was it worth it?
Oh, no. No, probably I wonder not. If any of those kids remember that, but I was just like, hey, look at that, I'm going to catch it. I mean, even.
You could use like lighter fluid from
about
a grill.
You want to talk about feeling like a failure. When you're sitting there with a can of gasoline, you can't make a flame, bro, that'll preach. Isn't that how we feel sometimes?
Some of y'all ain't worth the, I don't know.
Some of y'all been dousing your sermon illustration.
I was
going to
say
twice.
That the illustration could be negative, like you had a fire that burned, like we always got like screamed at for. When we come home from camp, don't let the fire go out.
Yeah.
You got to take this home to your communities. And it could be like the fire burned off, but it didn't change you. Like you're still the same.
Come on now.
So you could have used it in that way to make people feel bad about themselves.
That don't let the fire die after camp thing was a major when I was a kid.
Yeah.
A major.
Like you got to stay just on 10.
Yeah.
Which nobody can live in there.
No.
That's not, we're not built. Like, if you think of somebody who's always on 10, that's not a pleasant person.
No, and it's not the way, like, we had no concept.
Like, John the Baptist might have been that, but he stayed in the woods and, like, ate locusts and stuff and screamed at people to repent.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, and John the Baptist had a million buddies. Like,
no.
No.
Mm-mm.
He was probably tough to be around.
He was, he was a weird dude.
I'm glad we had him.
An important guy. Yeah. But
he had a tough camp season.
He never let the fire die.
He didn't.
In his case, I think it was water, actually.
Yeah.
I don't think I had a concept of emotions being a part of my of my whole.
Yeah.
And that being okay. There was a sense of your spirituality should override your emotions at all time, or it should amp your emotions. Your spirituality should access and change your emotions always to this, like I said, level 10. And so the challenge for me was, is I don't feel the same. My emotions are not at 10.
So something's wrong with me.
Right. I must be.
I'm taking this spiritual relationship for granted now.
Yeah.
And I got to feel bad about that now.
Got to. Yeah. Because this should feel like camp.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding. I would go home. I remember as a 12-year-old, 13-year-old. I would go pray in the summer at home after camp, sometimes 2-3 hours, trying to get that feeling, which is not normal for that. That's not a, that guy was holy. That was like a, just desperate. It's
from a place of condemnation.
Right, desperate to feel that thing again and not let it go, you know? Because one of the things my therapist friend and I talk about a lot is like wasted, like pain that was avoidable by my action is sort of my trigger. So if it's unavoidable, it's like, okay, that's awful. If it's like, so again.
I get that. I totally understand that.
Yeah.
I think I'm the same way.
Yeah. Things that happen that I can't control. Okay. That's awful. Things that happen that I could have done something.
Yeah.
You know, that I couldn't foresee well enough. That's why I spent my life trying to foresee better.
Yeah.
You know.
But then you mess yourself up trying to figure out, is this something I could have controlled? And you, so you second guess, like trying to make a decision. For instance, if you're traveling, like I travel for a living. And so I don't try not to get stressed about, oh, we're delayed or, oh, there's traffic. But if I think, man, all I had to do was if I could have just taken the exit before this, I would have missed this.
Yeah.
And I could be home free now.
Yeah.
Then it bothers me because I made a choice to stay.
Yeah.
And I could have checked Google Maps or whatever for 5 minutes and I could have got around this. Now I'm in the traffic. Yeah. It's a totally different feeling when I could have controlled it.
Yep. Even though you couldn't have had the knowledge to control it.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you would open Google.
Yeah.
You should have thought about that.
Won't that preach?
But someone today said, you know, you don't need to live in your past. And I was like, you don't understand me at all. Because the reason I dwell in the past, like in those exact scenarios, is because I want to make sure I learn from them what I can to not do that again the next time.
Yeah.
So it's like this. That's for me, I simply dwell on the past just, I think, to feel condemned. I really think I dwell on the past to be like, okay, I should have done this differently. And the more I think about this, the more I'll make sure I do this differently next time so I can avoid the pain moving forward. But, Johnny, you can't – I'm actually preaching on that Sunday, like on the Palm Sunday triumphal entry. Like, you know, the prophecies about Jesus riding into the colt, about the palm branches, or the palm branches were a symbol of victory. So they were thinking he's revolutionary, and they had but the truth was, the verse there actually says they didn't put all this together till after he was resurrected.
Yeah.
That the donkey and riding in Jerusalem was a prophecy fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think prophecies are supposed to be things that you figure out ahead of time.
Still mysterious to them.
Right? They're things that you're supposed to be able to look back on and go, okay, I see God's plan in a way that this couldn't have lined and that he even predicted it. But it wasn't for me to know. But in the I think what they wanted was an end to their pain. So it's a, like, there's no, even through the prophetic, like, there's no workaround of pain. That's what we really all want. Let's avoid it. Let's, you know, mitigate it. And there's no path even through the ways of Christ. Now, you can avoid some pain by the ways of Christ that are circumstantial or consequential to your life because you choose a path that is healthier. But you can't avoid the disappointment or the
Just being human, pain from just being human.
Yeah. Like, there's no path around it, bro.
The only way to keep the fire after camp would be to just make camp at home. You have the games every night.
Yeah. Chubby bunny on my own.
You get the little kiddie pool. You fill it with the last night's dinner. You go take a run and jump. You dive into it.
Amazing.
You tag the next kid.
Right.
There's no other next kid because no one's hanging out with you because you're that kid.
Right.
And
Camp Johnny.
It is. It's a sad camp. And then you have testimony night.
Right. Hey, guys, thanks. I don't normally do this.
You line up all your teddy bears and you're giving testifying to them.
I don't like talking in front of people. Can I tell you my pet peeves of, and this is awful, it's very judgy. But like when you hand someone in church a microphone who's not used to talking, and this is not meant to be judgy.
Yeah.
But I've just noticed it so many times over the years. And I know we talk in a microphone every day. Okay. So it's not meaning to look down, but so it's a big deal for a lot of people. But mm-hmm. like we used to do, we wanted to have more of our people. We're going to do it again. Welcome everyone to church. Uh-huh. So we do an opening song. And once you get up and give this, it's a 45 second, 30
yeah,
second.
Yeah, I like that. That's cool.
But they'd get up there and here are the things. Here are like the ticks that I've noticed among people. They get up and the first thing they say is, oh man, I don't like talking in front of people.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm not real sure what all I'm supposed to say. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if you went over like 100 times, you know. Yeah. I want you to say my name is.
It's like it's like you're diffusing it already. You're like you're minimizing it so that it is. If it doesn't go good, you're like, well, he's already told us he's not used to talking in front of people.
But it actually just makes it worse.
Right. Makes it. Yeah.
So then I gave them a card. I started a process where I'd print a card like.
And then they go, it says on this card.
Yes. That was the next thing. They get up there and they'd go, they do the same thing now with my card.
Yeah.
They'd go, they gave me this card.
Oh, no.
And I'm supposed to read this card. I was like, wow, we just wasted.
You got to coach your people better.
I would coach them like.
I don't know what's wrong.
So
with
then
you.
The next time I started writing at the top of the card, do not acknowledge the card. It was like my note to the, whatever you
I
do.
I state your name.
Do would like to welcome
you. Would like to welcome you to insert church name.
And it's, again, it's just one of those like, hey, you always tell me that we all do it as speakers in some way. Yeah. We have something like, I mean, I totally over disclaim.
There used to be comedians who, I mean, this is an old comedian trick, but if you're ever like in a city that you like, if you're an open mic, and I've seen a lot of comedians go, hey, this next guy just wants you guys to know that it's his first time doing comedy. Because the audience is extra, like, generous, and, you know, and then they'll be like, that guy's amazing. He's going to be, and you could be, you've done comedy 10 years, but it's just like a thing some people do. And some people do just as a gag, but I've seen comics do it because they're like, I'm trying a bunch of new stuff, and I just want them to not, to lean in a little bit and give me a little bit more latitude. So be like, this is his first time doing comedy. Welcome, Johnny W. And I'm like, hey, guys. And they're like, man, he's really confident,
wow,
you know. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a great comedian. But for somebody that's my first time, I'm a really great comedian. You know? Like Nate Bargatze has a bit about that, about how he likes to tell people that he used to weigh 300 pounds. He goes, because I don't look good, but I look really good for a guy that used to weigh 300 pounds. And then somebody that used to weigh 300 pounds, he's right. He does look good for a guy that used to weigh 300 pounds.
You look great, Johnny.
Oh, thanks. It's very nice.
Yeah.
It's my first time doing
It's the first
podcast.
Time doing a podcast, yeah. Yeah, that's funny. No, it's one of those.
Don't read the card.
Don't read the card, man.
Don't acknowledge the card. Read the card. Don't acknowledge the card. But it is weird to read a card too. It's like reading from your hand or something.
But I used to, again, we all have them, even if you've been doing a long time.
Yeah.
It's the, John Kerry used to get on me all the time because he'd say, whatever you do, I don't ever in your sermon ever want to hear you utter the words, for a minute, I'm going to put on my teaching hat.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I used to be a teacher, so in my mind, I'm going to take you guys down this. He's like, you're just telling us we're about to be the most bored audience. You're telling, but you're not, like, if you have great stuff to teach, just teach it.
It sounds like you're saying, like, I'm going to lecture you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to take you. Yeah. How many of you guys like school? You know what I'm saying? Like, so I stopped doing that.
Take off your teaching hat.
I take off. I just, if I'm wearing it, you don't know it. It's a straw hat.
Yeah.
Really, yeah. So. But I don't, you don't know if I have the teaching hat on or not.
Guys, can I just talk to you as like the cool dad for a minute? I just want to get down on your level.
The other one is if you say young people.
Oh, yeah.
No, guys, I want to speak
youth
to you.
Youth pastors that say young people.
You can't say I'm speak to you young people.
Young people, you're a city on a hill, whether you like it or not.
I know you don't like it, but you should. Don't say young people. Oh, there was one more.
Who was it that used to say gang? He's like, gang.
Yeah, I'm not going to say who. Yeah. I know who it was.
And he worked with gangs. That's the weirdest part. No,
no, he did not. He never seen a gang in his life. One of my pet peeves in music.
Yeah.
So, by the way, I'm listening. You ever listen to Social Club Misfits?
Yeah.
Dude, they're so good.
Yeah. I actually did a show with them.
Really?
A festival.
So good.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
I like 4 or 5 albums out. Very, very good. Mm-hmm. So, but I have a pet peeve.
Okay.
In Christian
calling
music.
Yourselves a misfit.
And no, it's fine.
We're all misfits out there.
Aren't we though, guys? My pet peeve is when you're in a worship song or a Christian song, and you decide instead of writing a real bridge, you're going to break into Amazing Grace.
Oh, yeah.
Adding If people do it, guys.
You do like a whatever the, what is it, community property now? What is it called when it's past the patent?
Public
and you
domain.
Can, it's public domain. Yeah. You just do a public domain verse.
Yeah. Well, it's usually the chorus, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Like, guys, go listen to Christian music and figure out how many times that a song breaks into Amazing Grace. And they usually change the melody.
Yeah, the guy who wrote that's like, I never should let that patent expire. Man, I'd be rolling in it.
And I just, I'm like, it to me, I know it's crazy. People may love Amazing Grace. I'm not against Amazing Grace, Johnny.
If we're gonna sing, as a concept.
And if we're going to sing the song, great.
Yeah.
What I don't want you is, it's been repurposed. Mm-hmm. It just feels lazy to me. Like, stop repurposing it and write your own verse about God's amazing grace.
Be lazy in the way that we're lazy.
Right. Don't write the song at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. Just sit on it. You feel like you're sitting on a lot of good ideas?
Always.
Yeah.
I feel like. That's my one of my main problems is I feel like, man, if I ever got it together, I could do some good stuff. I'm very confident in like a future me that has it all together.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I think that's what procrastination is. I don't think it's necessarily a negative. I think it's the utmost confidence in my future self because I'm like, you don't understand. If I wait till the last minute to get this done, it's going to be incredible.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I'm that confident. That's why I don't even know if you feel this because we're wired a little bit differently, but do you get like a little bit of a rush when you can put something off?
Oh yeah,
really? I just don't think of you that way.
So
I think of you as somebody who like likes to dive into a list and get stuff done.
I do,
and I do too. I like the satisfying end of the list. Like, man, I got a lot done today.
Yeah.
But when I see the list, it's so daunting that if I go, oh, that's not even due till 3 weeks from now. It's like heroin. It's like, it's unbelievable, the rush of knowing like, oh, that was this Tuesday. That's not till next Tuesday?
Yeah.
It's like when someone cancels plans with you.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, oh, I get we don't to have to do anything?
Home. Yeah. No, for me, no, the rush is not the feeling of putting it off. The rush is having had put it off, then getting it done.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I should not have waited the last minute, and then I knocked it out. And then I feel like the satisfaction that I had saved all this other time that I didn't realize.
Yeah.
So, but no, I'll get, and it's been happening a lot lately. I'll get wide-eyed at something I need to get done, and I can't. I don't have the gumption.
Like, well, that makes me feel better about you and our relationship. But there was like, I think Margaret Thatcher, some English leader said something about like, if you think about your best day, it won't be a day where you sat around and did nothing. It'll be a day where you had a lot to do and you got it done.
Yeah.
And I think about that. It's like, it's true. Like, when I think about my best day, I don't think like, and then we did nothing. Like, sometimes you need those days, but those aren't your best days. Your best days are like, I showed myself something today that I could do it. Like, I figured it out and I got it done. Like, those are your best days. Or like a day that was so crazy and full of like chaos, but you made it and you were around the people that you loved. Not like, we just isolated and I went to the beach. Like, beach days are needed, but that's not necessarily your best days.
I don't think you know me at all.
Yeah, John.
A day on the beach with a.
But I'm saying, like, when you. But I'm saying your legacy. I'm talking about a legacy day. When you look back on your life, you're not going to be like, man, that day I spent on the beach, that was.
I need my daughter and wife with me in order for this to be the best day.
Sure. I agree that there are. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about, like, we are not defined by our productivity, but when we take a list of things and you get them done and you go, I brought something out of myself that I didn't know was there. Because of this list, I would not have tapped into that part of my side, part of my personality otherwise than that project. That's a good day, but it's hard for me to get to that. I can stop myself on this side of that.
I actually heard a term this week of reading something called toxic productivity.
Really?
Yeah, and that's a thing in culture right now where
I think it's a name.
Trends are coming out of COVID that people
toxic productivity.
Are trying to have a more. Because I was on a huge marketing call with some amazing people yesterday, and the trends are people are really seeking a healthier, more holistic, balanced life.
If you will, they're seeking like a Sabbath. They know that they need a Sabbath in their life. So it's like it goes back to like God's ways of things.
Yeah. You're supposed to rest.
We just haven't named it that.
No. You're supposed to be at rest 1/7 of your life. I mean, just put that in perspective.
But if you think about the hours you sleep, is that not 1/7?
No, it doesn't count.
Okay.
You're supposed to be awake and non-productive. 1/7 of your awake life.
I thought it was 6/7, and I've gotten off my notes.
Remember, we were trying to come up with band names. You wanted to call us Seventh Day.
Seventh Day, because Third Day was so big then.
And then we would just get up on stage
and rest.
Sit there. Yeah. Hey, guys.
Where are the instruments? They don't do anything. They don't, this is their show.
And this is amazing.
It's a performance art. What do we pay them? Nothing. They didn't even want money. They...
The Sabbath thing, it hovers over me, too. It hovers over me like a, I should be doing that.
Like you don't think that you Sabbath? You don't think you rest?
I think that it's ad hoc.
Well, you work on Sunday because it's part of your, it's
right?
your job.
There's that. And I think you can take a Sabbath any day. I don't think that the day is necessarily as – if you feel strongly that the day is, you know, relevant to the process, then great. You know, that's a conviction.
But then you're not going to go do your – like if you're a pastor, you can't take the Sabbath off.
Well, but the real Sabbath is Saturday. If you're going to go that hardcore about
– We just
– Yeah. I mean, if you're going to call it Sabbath, which is a Jewish word, it's Saturday.
Yeah.
If you're going to try to bring Sabbath theology from Judaism over into Christianity. Yeah.
And then, make it only that one day.
And say that the early church basically moved. And that's the theory. The early church then met on the Lord's Day, which is Sunday, the day he was resurrected.
Yeah.
And that became their new holy day.
But they didn't make it a huge like presentation work day where there was tons going on the silly behind. You think?
I don't know. They met in the temple they met in the temple on the Lord's Day. I often wonder about that. Like, you know, this 3,000 people come to know Christ. So there's a lot of logistics.
That's true.
That.
There was a lot of work behind the scenes. So somebody was working.
The church is growing daily as God adds to their numbers. Those are being saved, it says. I mean, they know they're distributing money. They know they're distributing food. We have a food distribution program for the widows. Like, you're seeing all kinds. There's a lot of logistics happening. But
yeah.
I don't think they had Planning Center online or anything.
Like, no.
They didn't have it. So, yeah. Peter's like, I'm going to pull out my Pope app. I'm going to check this out. But so I don't often wonder how they versus us manage. But they also didn't have to worry about. They didn't have to manage 401ks and clocking in and, you know, Social Security and tax exemption.
Are you saying that they had it easier, John?
Guys, they had it so much easier. I mean, sure,
the early church were just getting fed to lions. They didn't have to deal with tax exempt status.
IRS.
A lot of people would say the IRS is being fed the lines too. Dealing with them is being like being fed the lines.
Yeah, but, I don't know. It's a, I don't know.
You're right though. We have it way harder.
Well, I think that the complexity of modern culture actually robs us of a lot of the, the joy of the simplicity of it all.
Yeah, anxiety is the dizziness of freedom. We have so much. We have so many options that it's paralyzing us. Because we're like, is this the right thing? Or is like, they were just like, what cave do you want to meet in so they don't find us?
Right. Well, there were stages of it, but yeah, a lot of it was that.
Yeah.
And then you go, and then you also see when the establishment comes together eventually, you know, third, fourth centuries, especially when it's in motion, you know, you begin to see within 1,000 years the level of corruption is so great.
Yeah.
You know, because you, if you're going to grow, I always say this, you know, to elders and staff, like, or about community groups.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we really are about community. Now, by definition, if you're going to be in community, you have to be in some kind of group.
Yeah.
So we have to structure that. And that's the non, like, I love.
Right, we want everything to be organic, but there has to be a boundary, a border, or something. Yeah.
I mean, even marriage is not organic.
A skeleton behind it, yeah.
It begins with organic feelings,
mm-hmm.
and then you eventually say, hey, here's a ring, so you had to buy that. Hey, here's a date for the wedding. Here's the invitations. Like,
I don't like the feel of that. I just want to go into a field and let our love, you know, coalesce.
You got to go to the bank and change your name on your accounts. I mean, like, it's a whole thing. So, I mean, organic.
Yeah.
Organic's good. It's just not sustainable.
Right. That's true. It's always about living. People want to live in the extremes. Be like, I'm not that kind of a guy. I don't like, I want to have a relationship with God that doesn't be confined by my need for, it's like, well, that's just, you got to have, it's like, I wanted to remember that sketch we wanted to do where the guy goes to the doctor and, he goes, your blood pressure is out of control. I'm not really a numbers guy. I know a lot of people get hung up on numbers. No, seriously, your cholesterol is like 552. Well, like, I don't know what the norm is. I just feel like
I don't quantify really those kinds of things.
You're in danger right now. It's like, you have to at some point be a numbers person. It's not the indicator. It's an indicator of growth or lack of growth or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that.
And that's what I want to talk to you about today, Chuck. You need to get on it.
I do.
You got people reading cards. I don't know what's going on with you.
Hey, guys, like, this card says I should tell y'all not to read the card. Hey, listener, we appreciate the time you spent with us today. Mm. And you are always welcome.
If you'd like to send us a card.
Yeah, or you're welcome to speak into your own microphone via leaving us a comment on our podcast, or you can go follow Johnny at Instagram.
Yeah, go to talkaboutthatpodcast.com for over 200 archived episodes. You can also click on the Patreon link.
Yeah,
Patreon, that's where you can kick in a few shekels if you want to. Help us out, help us make content. We actually have marketing people now that work with us to try to get the more eyeballs on our stuff.
Yeah.
And so that helps us.
And earballs, too.
Eyeballs and earballs. So that helps us find those people. And if you leave a rating and a comment, it helps people find the show because that's how the algorithm works. It's very slanted towards engagement. So please engage with it. Don't just listen and then be like, I liked that. Click and shut off your phone. Go engage.
Yeah, engage.
Get engaged with us.
Wait a second.
Wait, that's not.
Yeah, and hey, a couple of you did reach out for my free book offer if you're willing to leave an Amazon review.
That's very
nice. Yeah, I have a couple of those left for the giveaway. So just email me at john@johndriver.com and say, hey, I'd like to have a book.
I need to do something like that.
If you're willing to leave an Amazon review, an honest one. So I have to send you the book. I realize this. I have to send you the book first. Yeah, and then I have to trust
the honor system
you're going to actually go do it. So, yeah. But I trust these people. I trust our listeners,
too. I do, too.
So,
something about them.
Yeah, man, they really, yeah.
Good people.
Good people. Hey, guys, thanks again. Don't forget to check out our YouTube channel now. It's small and growing.
Video clips going up all the time.
Yeah, it gives us a chance to do a lot of clips.
If you see some of our little blurb clips go up, make sure you share those. That helps more people find those,
too. Yeah, it really does. Yeah. Share your stories. Like
reels.
It. Yeah, put it out there, man. We're putting out a lot of reels, and we get a lot of traffic to our reels. So, appreciate you guys. Yeah.
Beautiful.
I almost said being so real, but I just couldn't.
We just want to get reels with you.
We feel like there's so many reels views. It's just almost surreal. You know, Johnny? Okay.
We're so close.
I know, so close to getting out of here without being cheesy guy. Hey, guys, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Go and talk about that.
Is life feeling chaotic? I get it. I'm Rachel Wojo, host of the Untangling Life podcast. Don't miss the passionate encouragement and faith-based resources you need to help you clear your head and calm your heart. As Shell says, it feels like Rachel always knows what I need to hear. She keeps it real and is so humble. Her podcast is just the cherry on top. Enjoy Untangling Life with Rachel Wojo on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast app now.